This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Whoa, that's a pretty good greeting. By the way, does anybody know what this greeting means? What does salam alaikum mean? Salam means peace. It's Arabic. But also, it's similar to a word in Hebrew, shalom, which also means peace. Shalom Aleikum or Salam Aleikum. Peace. Peace be to you. Isn't that a nice thing to say to somebody? Come in the room and you say, peace be to you. And do you know it's the first thing that Adam said to the angels? The prophet Adam, when he was created, the first thing he said to the angels, peace. Peace be to you. Salam Aleikum. Let's do it again. Salam Aleikum.
Wa Aleikum
Assalam. MashaAllah. I was thinking about that, and I was wondering, what do we know about this salam, this peace? A long time ago, a friend of mine, he asked me a question. He said, do you know what everybody wants? I said, yeah, money. He said, nope, not everybody wants money. I said, they don't? He said, no. What about somebody who's really, really sick? What does he want? I said, oh, he wants to get well. He said, well, think again. What does everybody want? I said, well, a wife. He said, well, a girl wouldn't want a wife. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. That makes sense. I said, a car. Everybody wants a car. He said, now, why would everybody want a car? Some people wouldn't want a car. If they live on an island somewhere, what would the car be any benefit to them? No. I said, oh, okay. And I thought about it. He said, keep guessing. I kept guessing and guessing. Everybody wants this. He said, no. There's one thing that everybody wants. Said, I can't think what it would be. Power. He said, no, not everybody wants power. I said, what is it? What is it? Finally, he said, you give up? I said, okay, I give up. He said, everybody wants peace. Everybody wants peace. They want to find that peace inside themselves. The kind of peace that you can relax and just go, ah. So when you say to somebody, salam, salam alaikum, it's a very nice thing to say peace to them, isn't it? Do you feel like sometimes they're nervous, upset, angry is a problem? And wouldn't it be nice if you just know, peace. And what we found out is that angels give this same greeting back to Adam. Wa alaykum salam. And the peace is also to Adam. And, you know, when I found out that in the paradise, if you know about the Jannah, paradise, heaven, right? There's peace there too. Always peace. Always nice. But in the hellfire, there's never any peace. Always bad. And always things going on. A lot of confusion. Hot. Fire. Bad stuff. Nothing that I want to even know about, but no peace. The one thing the people in hell will never have is peace. Isn't that amazing? Now guess what? One of the prophets who came with a message about La ilaha illallah. We talked about that, which means there's no God to worship but Allah. All of them said that. But this one prophet, he also came with a word that has peace in it. And what do you think that word is? That word is Islam. The word Islam comes from a root in Arabic called salama. Salama. And from it comes submission. It means you do what God wants you to do. Surrender. You give up. Obey. Absolutely follow what Allah orders you. Sincere, meaning that you do it because Allah wants you to do it. Even if nobody's looking, you still will do the right thing. And finally, peace. So the word peace is inside the word Islam. If you want real peace with Allah, you have to know what's Islam. Islam means do what Allah wants you to do, the way He wants you to do it. And do it in what? Peace. Islam? Salam. Got it? Yeah. By the way, who was the prophet that came with the message called Islam? Do you know? Muhammad, the last prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of our programs, we're going to be talking about him in big detail. But for now, I just wanted to mention to you that from the beginning, which is Adam, until the last prophet, which is Muhammad, we find this thing about peace is woven through the whole story. Always we're looking for what? Peace. Well, stories of the prophets, you can learn so much. You learn about yourself and the truth about yourself. You really are something. You're special to Allah. You're important to Allah. But Allah doesn't need you. Allah loves you if you obey Him. But Allah doesn't need anything, and He doesn't need anybody. So, remember that although you're special, you can lose that if you don't do what Allah wants you to do. You must always think about Allah. What do we know about Allah? Well, we know He's the Creator. We talked about Him being fair and just, but what else do we know? Well, we know that He's the one who takes care of everything, the caretaker. More than that, the provider. Even more than that, He's the one that sustains everything. There's no leaf on any tree except Allah is the one who makes it be there. And there's no leaf on any tree that's going to fall until Allah says it's going to fall. And it's not going to hit the ground until Allah says it's going to hit the ground. And it won't turn brown till Allah tells it to turn brown. That's how much control Allah has. Now, we spoke about angels a little bit, but the prophets have shown us a lot of things about angels to help us understand about that too. Did you know that there are so many angels that I can't even imagine how to count them? Even if I went to my computer and started typing in numbers right now, I probably could never come up with all the number of all the angels that there are, because Allah keeps making more and more to do jobs. Some angels are taking care of the leaves and the trees, and some angels are even making your eyes blink, and some angels are taking care of the water, some angels take care of plants. These angels are busy, man. They're like going here, going there, doing everything all the time. But one important thing about angels is they worship Allah alone, without any partners. Amazing? Yes, it is. Sometimes we learn something new, like today we're hearing this subject about what angels do. A lot of people don't realize what important jobs the angels have, because Allah orders it, but He orders angels to do a lot of work too. Keeps them busy, huh? Another thing about Allah, He sees everything. He sees everything. He sees everything you're doing in public and everything you're doing in private. It doesn't matter what you're doing, but Allah sees it. What else? He hears everything. He hears every single sound. Even if there's nobody else there to hear it, Allah hears it. Now, there was a question I heard some kids come up with one time. They were saying, well, what if there's a desert island out in the ocean? And there's a tree out there. And the tree dies, and it falls over. But there's nobody there to hear it. Will it still make a sound? So what kind of question is that? They said, no. If nobody could hear it, maybe it doesn't make a sound. But Allah could hear it, couldn't He? So, it must make a sound. There's no place in the universe except Allah's hearing is there, and His sight is there, and His knowledge is there, because He knows everything. Now, we don't have that kind of sight, and we don't have that kind of knowledge. My sight is in front of me, and I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at you. But I can't see behind me. You can, can't you? But you can't see behind you, can you? Unless you turn. But if you turn, then you can't see in front of you anymore, can you? So that's called limited, isn't it? And can you see down at the same time you see up? No, you can't. In fact, sometimes we wish we had some cameras when we are making our programs, that we could have cameras that would do that. But they don't have. There's nothing that can see in all directions all at the same time. You can't. And imagine Allah is seeing everything right now. He's seeing everything in the ocean. He's seeing everything up in the mountains. He's seeing everything up in the clouds, all at the same time. Everything on the moon, he can see it. Everything on Jupiter and Mars and Venus, Neptune, all the planets. He can see everything right now. And he doesn't need a telescope. And Allah hears everything. If there's any sound, Allah is hearing it. He knows what you show and he knows what you hide. Now, there's an important reason to know this. Because if anybody says that he's God, if anybody says that they are the Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds, you can just say, well, if that's the truth, why can I see you? Because nobody can see God. You can't. Because he's way beyond our eyesight. You can't hear him either, because he's way beyond our hearing. But he communicates with us through the prophets that we've been talking about in our programs. Now I want to bring up something else about knowledge. The knowledge of Allah is good, but also you have to start practicing. Now, do you know for sure there's Allah? Then if you know it, the first thing you have to do is say it. I know there really is Allah. I swear there's really Allah. Only one God. Only one. There's only one God. And in Arabic we say La. Let me hear you say La. La. Ilaha.
Illa.
Allah. La ilaha.
Illa
Allah. La ilaha.
Illa Allah.
It means there is no God except the one real God, Allah. And then when a person confirms it, they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
And that's the first beginning of true knowledge of your Lord. The knowledge is good. Knowledge is very important to know things. But it's important to know how to use it to get what you want. Now, when we have knowledge of the dunya, which we mentioned about, you know how to use what you have here to get what you want. If I make a pump, a certain kind of pump, I can put a long pipe in the ground and the pump will pull the water up through the pipe. I have the knowledge, got tools, and get a drink of water. That's how it works. But how about the knowledge that I have about Islam? The knowledge that I have about the prophets and how I can use it? Well, now we'll go back and we'll think about Moses again. You remember Moses? We talked about him. You remember the stick that he had?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot about his stick. When the stick went down, became the snake. And when he used the stick and he beat the water and the water opened up and whew, they could walk right through it. Remember that story?
Yes.
Yeah. But what's the lesson for us? It doesn't mean we should all go get a stick, does it?
No.
Huh?
No.
That would be weird. Everybody walking around, I have a stick. I have a stick. Oh, gosh, you must be in the same religion. The stick people. But the lesson we learned about really from Moses is to obey Allah. To know that Allah is existing and do what he wants you to do. Because what happened to Pharaoh, the one who didn't, he'd say he didn't believe in Allah. He kept saying he didn't believe in Allah. But then when these plagues and things came, then what he did, he said, okay, I'll believe. Then Allah would take it away. And then he said, no, I'm the God. And then more problems come. More plagues are coming. More, you know, disasters are coming to the people over and over. But when he would say, I believe, Allah would take that away, and then he would disbelieve again. Until finally, when he was even dying in the water, drowning while he's chasing Moses, he said, okay, I believe in the Lord of Moses. Remember what we talked about that. But Allah knows he's not ever going to do what he's supposed to do. So he never got that peace, did he? I want peace. You want peace. And really, all people want it, but most people don't know how to really get it. And it comes to you when you give what you have to Allah. And it's not just talking about money. This is talking about giving your spirit, something inside of you, your free choice. Give it to Allah. Now, Adam had free choice. You remember we talked about that? Because the angels don't choose. Angels don't get to choose what their job is going to be. They don't get to choose whether or not they're going to do their job. You imagine an angel is supposed to be doing something, and he said, I'm going to take the day off. That ain't going to happen, is it? No. But if you know that human beings have choice, then you understand why we make mistakes. Because we make the wrong choices. Everybody knows, even when they're little small babies, well, not too small, but kind of, you know, they still know what's right and what's wrong. They know what's bad and they know what's good. Do you know what's bad and what's good? Of course you do. Do you? Yeah, of course. It doesn't matter what language either. You know bad is bad and good is good. Is it okay to steal something? No. Is it okay to lie? No, never. Is it okay to cheat? No. Is it okay to hurt people?
No.
Is it okay to do stuff to people?
No.
No, it's not okay. So you already knew that. How come you already know that? Well, you might think, well, because my mother taught me, because my father taught me. But Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us an amazing thing. He said that every single baby, every baby that's born is already born in Islam. Do you hear me? Born in Islam. He means that they are born on their natural inclination to already be doing what Allah wants them to do. A baby is already in good shape with Allah. Babies, little small babies, are innocent. They didn't do anything wrong. Allah loves these babies. No baby is born with guilt. No baby is born with sin. They're born pure and innocent. Now, I want you to think about something. Sometimes after babies are born, they die, don't they? Sometimes a baby could just be a little bitty guy, right? But he could die, yeah? What happens? What happens to this baby? Because some people might say, well, what religion was the baby? Oh, you can put a cross on them and say they're a Christian. Or you could put a star on them and say they're something else. Or you could put marks on the baby. But that doesn't change the baby, does it? No, the baby is still the baby. So when babies die, Allah takes them to heaven. All the babies get to go to heaven. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
And not only that, they get to be with Prophet Ibrahim. Yes. Oh, he's very nice, by the way. And he loves children so much. And he has all these children with him. You remember we talked about him, too. Remember how old he was when he finally got a son? Nearly 100 years old. Well, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But you can read that. You can read that in the scripture. It says that. That he was nearly 100 years old and Allah gave him a what? A boy. And he was very, very happy. He got a big test, though. When you really love something in this world, then Allah will test you with it. Oh, yeah. And he really loved his son. So Allah tested him. And Allah is giving him the what we call revelation in his mind to understand. That's the way Allah communicates with the prophets. Give them understanding that the normal person doesn't have. Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, he understood that Allah wanted him to sacrifice his son. And he said, oh, should I sacrifice? Sacrifice, you know what they used to sacrifice animal? They lay the animal down and use a knife and cut the neck of the animal. And then they can sacrifice it and cut it up and cook it and give the meat to the people, something like that. Well, in this case, he was seeing that he has to sacrifice his son. And he was thinking, Now what do you think? He tried, but Allah didn't let it happen. Instead, Allah sent a big sheep, and he sacrificed the sheep instead. Because Allah let him understand, because you were willing, you would have if I wanted you to. That's all I want to know. I want to see and show you who you really are. And Abraham, or Ibrahim as we call him, he passed the test. So you see that Allah, sometime he will use things from this world and test you with it. And then you will see how good you pass the test. And it will determine whether or not you have succeeded. Some people have a lot of money, so Allah may test them with their money. Some people have a lot of children, so Allah could test them with their children. Some people, they have a good job, power job, you know, maybe like a president or a king. And he has this power, and he thinks, Then Allah could test him with that power. So these tests come to all of us according to what? To who we are. You're not a king, are you? No, I didn't think so. And I don't think you're a president, are you? No. So that doesn't really matter to you. It's just a story now. But when you get older and you grow up and you think back and you say, yeah, wait a minute. This thing that's happening to me right now, maybe it's a test. Some difficulty that I have. And I remember back when my friend asked me the question and he said, what does everybody want? Well, I want to get rid of my problems, don't you? That's what I want. If I got rid of all my problems and I didn't have anything else to worry about anymore, what would I have left? Peace. Peace. Huh? Yeah. Now, the prophets use this expression. Another prophet that used this expression is Jesus, alayhi salam. Peace be upon Jesus. And it's mentioned in the scriptures that when he came upon his companions, he greeted them like this. Assalamu alaikum. And just like you guys, wa alaikum salam. Wasn't that nice? He wanted peace too. We keep finding this subject coming up. Peace. 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 And the best way to get it is to do Islam. To achieve peace, you do Islam. And Islam means you do what God wants you to do. Now, you believe in God, and He's one. And you do what He wants. When the prophets came and talked to their people, they would tell them about this way to achieve this peace, by submitting to Allah. So many stories, so many lessons to learn. But the most important thing is to remember, these are not just stories. These are things for us to use in our brain and in our heart, so that we can do what Allah wants us to do, so that we can be people who do Islam, which means surrender to Him in peace, and then we will get the peace. And how do we say peace?
Salam.
Salam. Salam. And if I want to say salam to everybody, I say?
Salam alaikum.
So we'll end as we started. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Whoa, that's a pretty good greeting. By the way, does anybody know what this greeting means? What does salam alaikum mean? Salam means peace. It's Arabic. But also, it's similar to a word in Hebrew, shalom, which also means peace. Shalom alaikum or salam alaikum. Peace. Peace be to you. Isn't that a nice thing to say to somebody? Come in the room and you say, peace be to you. Peace be to you. And you know it's the first thing that Adam said to the angels. The prophet Adam, when he was created, the first thing he said to the angels, peace. Peace be to you. Salaam alaikum. Let's do it again. Salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
MashaAllah. You know, we've been talking about the prophets in Islam. And we've talked about some of the basic things to understand. We discussed the subject of how we can know if somebody's really a prophet. Is there any real proof for that? Then we found out some clear evidences. Another thing we found out is the similarities in the prophets. They always bring one message, a clear message that there really is one God, and all your love and all your worship and everything you do for Him. But we found out that some of the things are also different about the prophets, didn't we? We found out that they live at different times, a little difference in their languages. And we also found out that they lived in different situations, cultures and circumstances, things that happened to them. But today I thought maybe we could discuss something that happened way back at the very beginning of the time of Adam, alayhi salam. Remember when we say any prophet's name, like Jesus, like Moses, like Abraham, we always say alayhi salam or peace be upon him. And with that, I want to go back to talk about Adam alayhi salam. And you know, when he was first created, Allah created him from dirt. Now dirt, as we know, is all over the earth, isn't it? And dirt is many colors. You can look at dirt, it might have some brown in it, it might have some orange, it might have different, you know? And so all the people of the earth today are also different colors, aren't they? Isn't that interesting? And Allah made Adam from a kind of clay. We call it sounding clay. You know what it means? It means that when they work with it, it makes a sound. That's strange. But we don't call, in Arabic, we don't say people are human beings. In Arabic, we say they are what? Insan. And that's some of the things we'll talk about today, too. Why we're called insan. Now let us go back and see, here's Adam. And imagine it. Here is Adam, and we discussed he was so big. Do you know how big Adam was? He was so tall, bigger than a building. He was very tall. And he tried to talk to the angels, you know, because there were angels at his time. But they were busy. They were always worshiping Allah. And maybe he would talk to them, and he'd go, yeah, yeah, whatever, and then back to worshiping Allah. So he was lonely. And one of the things that happened, Allah told Adam to give names to everything. Now, Allah had already told the angels, you know, if you know anything, tell me the names of all the things I've created. The angels said, we don't know anything. How we know anything if you didn't give us the knowledge? But when Allah told Adam, give names to everything, Adam named everything. Yep, and after that experience, I guess he was pretty tired, huh? He lay down and he fell asleep. Allah made him fall asleep. And during his sleep, Allah did something. Allah took the bone of Adam, which is the short bone, from the ribs. And then Allah made that bone have skin on it and flesh. And then eventually it became what? It became Eve. That was the first woman, was made from the bone of Adam. Did you imagine that? So Adam woke up, you know, he's like, hey, who are you? You weren't here before. She said, that's right. He said, where did you come from? She said, I came from you. From me? And when he realized, he said, So then he told her her name. He said, you are Hawa. Now the angels are going, hey, how come you called her Hawa? He said, because she's created from something alive. And Hawa in Arabic is from the same word as Hayy. And Allah is Al-Hayy, which means what? Always alive. Eternally alive. That is the name of Allah. Because He never dies. So she's called Hawa, which means alive. So women are coming from the same place men are coming from. We're all coming from the same place. Allah told us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And that's the meaning of what I'm telling you right now. That He said, O human beings, you're coming all from this source. And He says to us, O human beings, have taqwa for Allah, for your Lord. And Allah is the one who created all of you from one single person. Who? Adam. And from him created his mate, Hawa. We call her Eve too. And from these two, Allah brought forth many men and many women. It's important for us to know this because just like we need to know that men have responsibilities and things they have to do, also women have responsibilities and things they have to do too. Now another subject that comes up with this is called knowledge. Because one of the amazing things about Adam, and all of us too, is the ability to learn. I don't guess there's anything else on the whole entire planet Earth, really, that has the ability to learn like a human being. We can learn so much and understand so much. And this is something coming all the way back from Adam. Allah gave that to us, this desire, if you will, or love, to want to know more. I want to know more. So sometimes we hear stories and we want to hear more, more. Why? Because inside of you, there's something saying, get some more knowledge, get some more knowledge. But then the important thing to do is to know how to use your knowledge, isn't it? The first knowledge all of us have is the knowledge about ourselves. And we found from the story of Adam, he had knowledge about himself. He had knowledge about the bone that came from him that became his wife. He had understanding. Then the next kind of knowledge that we need to have is the knowledge about the one who created us. Where did we come from? Did we make ourselves? No. That's kind of dumb, isn't it? No, but it had to be from God, Allah, Almighty. He created all of us. So if we know that and we said He created us, this is a good kind of knowledge. Now there are some people that deny it. They say, no, everything happened by accident. Some people say we came from monkeys. That's pretty good. When you consider, if we came from monkeys, how come we still have monkeys today? Now I want to give you a specific story about some people. A long, 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 long time ago, there was a prophet by the name of Noah. Have you heard about Prophet Noah? He's the one that had the great, big, big, big boat. And he put the animals in it. You remember this story? And the big flood came. Did you ever hear about this? Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a minute and see what we learn from this subject. During his time, there were some people that were very nice, very good, and they used to do Islam. They used to do what God wants them to do in peace. They were the best people. Very religious, praying, giving charity all the time, taking care of the poor people. And this is what Allah likes. They were very famous for being what? Very good. But they died. Everybody's going to die. We already talked about that. And after they were gone, some other people would tell their children, you should be like this lady, or you should be like this man. You should be like them because they were real good. So they made some, like, statues of them from rocks or something, you know? They made statues so you could go look and said, this is what they look like, and this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so over here. And they were like this and this and this. And they said, oh, okay, but think about them. Now, who is behind this is the devil. The devil's tricky. He said, yeah, put those statues and remind the people to be good. The devil was telling people to be good? No, no. He was telling them to look at these statues to remind them, because what's going to happen? When those people grow up and they have children and they say, if you want to be good, go to this statue. That statue is so-and-so and it does this, it does that. And then when they grow up, they tell their children, go over there and pray to this statue and if you want any good. Oh, they get the story mixed up, didn't they? So the people are going to the statue here and here, and they were going to the statues and saying, oh, I need this, I need that, and thank you, oh, you gave me so much, la, 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 la. And they were calling the statues by names like gods, and they named them many names they gave for this god and this god and this god and that god. But they're nothing but rocks. And Allah hates that. Allah hates it when anybody is praying to something other than Him. Because Allah created the rocks. Allah created everything. So why do you say thank you to a rock that can't even do anything? And why would you ask a tree and the tree can't go anywhere? Huh? So why? What is in your brain making you say this? Shaitan telling you, oh, go and, you know, give some nice things to the statue. Now this gets really funny. The statue doesn't even eat, but there you are. You're taking milk, you're taking food. Poor children, huh? All over the place need food, but no, you don't give it to them. You go give it to a rock, and you leave it there. I mean, this is a real no-brainer. Allah doesn't like that. And the prophets warned against it. Because what happened next? The people began to pray to those rocks so much they thought they were gods. Now, Noah was telling people, just worship Allah. Just worship Allah alone without any partners. That's what you need to do. They told him, hey, get out of town. Get a life. You're crazy. They were really calling him crazy a lot. And then Allah let him understand there was going to be a great rain that was going to come. Now, that was funny because the people at that time, their rain was really not there. They were having what's called drought. Have you heard of drought? You know what's drought? No rain, no water. The land is dry, dust everywhere, wind is blowing, hardly anything will grow. If it does grow, it doesn't last. It's problems, lots of problems. And he was telling them there's going to be a big rain, and they're saying, okay, sure, go rest, old man. But he's telling them, no, it's going to be a big rain. You need to get ready for this. You need to believe in the God of the world. and to go with me. They said, go with you where? He said, I'm going to build a boat, a big boat. They said, in the desert? Out here? You going to build a boat? Okay, have a good time, man. He said, I'm going to build a boat, a big boat. They said, in the desert? Out here? You going to build a boat? Okay, have a good time, man. So he built this big boat, big. And some people believed, and they helped him, and they did things, and they built this huge, 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 huge boat. How big was it? Huge. Really huge. And then Allah inspired him to take animals, a pair. Take two of these, and two of these, and two of these, and two of those, and two of those, and two of those, and two of those, and like that. So now here's Noah, with a boat, and no water, and taking animals and putting it in it. What do you think the people were thinking? But some people knew he was telling the truth, because he was saying there's only one God. Worship him. Come on, guys, something bad is going to happen. Please. And you know what happened? It started to rain. He said, see, it's starting to rain. They're going, okay, so a couple of drops of water, and you think it's going to float your boat? Okay, bye. Some of his family got in. But his own wife said, Noah, no way. And she wouldn't go in. His own son said, Dad, give it a rest. And he wouldn't get in. As the water started to come up, he said, see, I told you, look, water's coming up. It's coming up. It was coming out of the ground. Look. It's raining down and the water coming up. Don't you see what's going to happen? I told you it's going to happen. They're going, oh, please, a little bit of rain. Okay, so you're excited. So what? But then the rain came more and more. And he's saying, please, my son, get in the boat. Get in the boat, he said. Don't worry, I'll go up the mountain. He said, it's going to go high up the mountain. He said, I'll go higher up the mountain, okay? I'm not getting in your boat. Then the water got higher and higher. And finally, they had to close the door. They had to close the door of the boat, or else the boat would have filled up with water. So they sealed it. They sealed the boat's door. It meant nobody else could get in. And the water kept coming, coming, coming. And pretty soon, that huge boat started to rock a little bit, and a little bit more, and more. And then it started rising up, because the water was really that high. And it was going up, and the people were going up the mountain and getting to the top of the mountain and trying to hang on, and then pretty soon all was totally covered with water. And the only people still alive were in that boat. And the only animals that survived were the animals with Noah, alayhi salam. What happened? The people didn't obey. So Allah sent a real big proof for us, because we can look and see what will happen. If you don't obey Allah, you could suffer in this world and suffer again in the next world. And the hellfire is horrible. So it's very, very important for us to listen and learn about what these prophets were telling us. The only way we can be sure about that today, though, is to go to Prophet Muhammad and ask him, because he's the last prophet. Now some people will say, well, he's dead, what do you mean? Well, of course we know he's dead, but we still have what he said. It's called the Quran. It's still exactly as it always was, never been changed, and we can go to it, and you can read the story I just told you. It's in the Quran. You can read about Noah, and it mentions his name, Noah. And it's his name in Arabic, Noah. You can read it. You can also learn a lot about what happens to people, because after the water start going away, going away, going down, you know? So, according to some stories, he was sending out these birds to see what's going to happen. And the bird that came back and had a branch of something, he said, ah, this means it's safe. Because if he found a branch of something, then something's growing somewhere, right? Because they'd been for many, many days and nights out there. Oh, yeah. By the way, it rained for so many days and nights, and they were in the ocean for so many days and nights. I'm sure they were ready to see some dry land. Now, when I tell you the next part, you have to think. A mountain is high up, right? Do people have boats in mountains? No. But Noah did. How? Well, when the water went down, what's the first thing that's going to be there? The mountaintop, right? And the first mountaintop is a very high mountain. It's in Turkey. I've been to Turkey, by the way. And this mountain is called Judi, Mount Judi. And it's in the Ararat mountain range is Judi. And the ship or boat of Nuh alayhi salam landed on that mountain. Now wait a minute. I want you to think about something. Can you imagine after it landed, you know, it's like, whoa, open the door, let's go out. Okay, whoa, we're on a mountain. Now what, you know? They had to take the animals out, had to get set up, a lot of stuff had to happen. But today, that exact place is called Kurdistan. And I learned from some people who came from there that a long time ago, the whole area was called Judi. Then they called it Kudi. And then they called it Kurdi. And now it's Kurdistan. It was the same place. And by the way, I know somebody from there, and he calls himself Ahmed al-Kurdi, because he said, I'm from there, you know? Anyhow, so what we learned from this experience with Noah alayhi salam is when a prophet tells you to do something, you better do it, or you could suffer here, horrible. And you could suffer in the next life, too. Another thing that we get out of this story is that not all people are alike. And just because somebody's a prophet doesn't mean that his children are also going to be good people. And also, his wife may not be good. Even the parents of the prophet may not be good, because each person is different. You are not responsible for what your mother thinks, or for what your father thinks, or what your children think. Your job is just to tell the truth. Always tell the truth. And if they accept it, that's good. And if they don't, well, that's their problem, isn't it? So one of the things that I like to remind myself and remind others too is that when you're telling other people about God, if they don't want to hear it, okay, let it go. You don't force anybody. But if they want to know more, we can sure tell them more. Because we have many, many stories of the prophets. And some of the stories I've been telling you, and there's more stories that I want to tell you in the future. I want to tell you about the stories of Adam. More stories we have about him too, oh yeah. More stories about Ibrahim and Moses and David. I didn't even tell you about David. His name is Dawood. Can you say Dawood?
Dawood.
Yeah, Dawood in Arabic, huh? He had a son, Suleiman. We call it Solomon. Solomon. But Suleiman. And then there's Jacob. Jacob's a good prophet. And he had sons. Oh, yeah. Actually, had a bunch of them. Oh, yeah. Jacob had sons, yeah. And Isaac. We know about this one. And Ishmael. We know about them as prophets. And then there's another prophet. His name is Yusuf. Can you say Yusuf?
Yusuf.
Say it again.
Yusuf.
Well, you said it just right. My wife calls me useless. Because I never have any time to fix it. She wants fixed around the house. But, you know, each one of these prophets has stories that when we learn about them, it helps us to know how to deal with some of the problems that we have. Yusuf had some big problems with his family. All of his brothers were against him. Can you imagine that? Yeah, when he was little, he had an idea about being a prophet, that Allah wanted him to be a prophet. And they were very jealous of him. You know what they did to him? You want to know? They dropped him in a well. They went back and told his dad. You know what they told to the father? They said, oh, he died. He died, yeah. And they brought back some blood from a sheep, you know. They said, yeah, oh, we got, you know, a wolf got him. A wolf just tore him all apart. Here's his clothes. We're real sorry. Okay, Dad, he's gone. But they really didn't do that. They left him in a well. Now, wells back then were something amazing. Because these rocks, you know, were cut away and you went down, down. You had to climb down in it to get your water and stuff. And they left him in there. Because they knew he couldn't get out. And they said, maybe some caravan passing by will find him and then they'll take him. And that's what happened. Caravan means like camels and donkeys and people coming with a lot of stuff to sell, you know, trade route. And as they were going along, They said, let's get some water. There's a well. They stopped. They go down in. Hey, there's a boy in here. Ah! Good fortune for us. Why? Because we can sell him. And they took him to Egypt to sell him. And when they got into Egypt, they sold him for a small amount. Yet, he was worth a lot, as you'll learn later in some of the stories we're going to be telling. So this is another valuable lesson that we have from the prophets. So many stories, so many lessons to learn. But the most important thing is to remember, these are not just stories. These are things for us to use in our brain and in our heart so that we can do what Allah wants us to do, so that we can be people who do Islam, which means surrender to Him in peace, and then we will get the peace. And how do we say peace?
Salam.
Salam. Salam. And if I want to say salam to everybody, I say?
Salam alaikum.
So we'll end as we started. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, everybody's ready to go again, and we're going to keep talking about the prophets. There's so many prophets to talk about, so little bit of time, but today I wanted to talk about something called Itham. Have you heard about Itham? That's not the name of a prophet, by the way. In fact, that's something bad. It's when you do bad things, it's called Itham. Anything evil or bad you can do could be called an Itham. Itham in English is sins, isn't it? Sins. Now there's also some big sins people do called masiyah. All these things are bad. But where did it start? How did it come about? Then what happened after that? And how can we get away from it? Those are all things I want to talk about today. And in order to do that, I have to go back again to the very first prophet. I always go back and talk about Adam, don't I? Yeah. Because he's the beginning of all the human beings. And do you know when Allah created him, he was in Jannah, which is the way to say heaven or paradise in Arabic. He was there, and he was doing pretty good. But then the devil would come to him and try to inspire him, give him some ideas, give him thoughts, make him do what? Itham. What Itham did the shaitan want him to do? To eat the fruit. Remember Allah said, you can have anything in all of the paradise that you want. Anything you like, you can have from anything. For him and his wife. Just enjoy. Except one thing. Don't eat the fruit on that tree. That's all. But then the shaitan, the devil came to him and gave him what we call whisper in his ear. Tell him, go ahead, it's alright, go ahead. Actually, it won't hurt you if you do it. You won't die if you eat it, just go ahead. In fact, it will give you knowledge. If you eat from there, you'll know everything. Or if you eat from this, you will live forever. He was telling him anything just to get him to do what? Eat. Eat from the tree. And then one day, Adam forgot. He forgot how Allah said, don't eat from that tree. He just forgot. And he ate it. Now, why did he forget? Well, human beings were created to forget. Allah made us like that on purpose. Allah made us to get knowledge, but also to forget it. Sometimes you remember things and you think, yeah, I know this, I know that, I know so many things, and the next day you're going, oh, I forgot. Did it happen to you before? Yeah, you were thinking about something and you said, I just forgot. How come I forgot? This is because we're human beings, and in Arabic, these two words are the same word. Nasiya, to forget, and insan, human beings, coming from the same root. So what it means in Arabic, the human being was created by Allah to forget. And he forgot. He ate the fruit and he gave some to his wife and she ate it. And what happened? Big problem. Because as soon as they did that, Adam felt really bad about it. He felt sad. Really sad. Oh, why did I do that? And his wife, she started crying. She was upset too. Oh my God, what did we do? What did we do? Now some people, they blame Eve. They blame her. They say, okay, you know what? Because she ate the fruit and she made Adam eat the fruit. This is not what we know. No. Adam ate the fruit and Eve ate the fruit. Both of them made the mistakes, so they're both wrong. And we don't blame other people for what we do. So each of us is responsible for what we did. Well, then what happened? Allah made Adam and his wife and the shaitan, all of them, get out from the paradise. Just go. Go to the earth. Because that's what Allah created the human being for in the first place, as he said in the Quran, that he was going to create man, Adam, for the purpose of being the Khalifa on the earth. When they got to the earth, what do you think happened? As soon as they were coming down, Adam, he got more sad. Why did I do this? And he even said, I'm sorry, astaghfirullah. Allah, forgive us, please. Because if you don't forgive us, look, we're going to be in horrible shape. When they were on the earth, then Adam, he forgave them. Now, some people think that where they came down was on a hill, it's called Safa, and his wife came down on the other hill, which is called Marwa. And some people think that they came down near a place called Arafat, but it doesn't really matter. The most important thing is to know that they came down on the earth, and then they met together again on a place called Arafat. It's a big, wide place where Muslims make Hajj. And they lived in that area. But one of the most important things they did, they asked Allah, forgive me. Whenever you want Allah to forgive you for something, the first thing you have to do is be honest and tell Allah, I know I did this thing. I know I did it. And then you say, oh Allah, forgive me. If you would like to say it in Arabic, astaghfirullah. Can you say astaghfirullah? Let me hear it.
Astaghfirullah.
Hey, that's pretty good. Can you say it?
Astaghfirullah.
Can you say it? Try. Astaghfirullah. Try that. Astag. Say it. Astag. Fir-ullah. Perfect. Astaghfirullah. Perfect. Astaghfirullah.
Astaghfirullah.
All together. Astaghfirullah.
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 Very good. Now here's something special about this. You just said something that the shaitan will not say it. The devil, he's not going to say it. I want to take you back in my thinking with me. Let's go back and see what happened. Remember, Adam was created by Allah, and when he created him, Allah said, this is my best creation. And then Allah told all the other creation, bow down to Adam because this is my best creation. And all the creation obeyed Allah and bowed down. Except one. Who was the one?
Shaitan.
Shaitan, the devil. He said, no way. I'm not going to bow down to him. He's created out of the earth and I'm created out of the smokeless fire. I'm better than him. This is called, in Arabic, pride. In Arabic, you say kibr.
Kibr.
Can you say kibr?
Kibr.
It's like arrogant, proud, like, hey, I'm better than him. So this is kibr, and it's bad. And Allah doesn't like that. So that in itself is even worse than itham. Why is it worse? It's because the person is not obeying Allah. And they know they should, but they don't do it. This is really, really bad. Well, the next thing. The devil said he's not going to bow down. It means he's not going to say stuff for Allah. Because you see, Allah knows everything. He knows what's inside of people. He knows what's in you, you, me, everybody. It means what? Arrogance, pride, kibr. And this is something so bad. So be careful of that, about being too proud or too arrogant, showing off, things like this. Allah doesn't like it. I don't have any choice. Anytime you have no choice in the matter, it's not a sin. Like what? Okay, Muslims, we pray 5 times every day. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yep, stand, bow, put our head on the ground, 5 times a day. But what if I fell asleep? I woke up. What time is it? Oh, I missed the prayer for the afternoon. Oh, and I missed the prayer for the evening. Oh, what should I do? What should I do? I missed these prayers. Am I going to get punished?
Yes.
No, I was asleep. And Allah doesn't punish you for something you couldn't help. And you can't help something if you're asleep, can you? So there's no sin on you then, is it? That's good. So anytime a person is knocked out, or asleep, or what else? If you forget. I just forgot. Remember, I said,
the word nasiya, and insan means to forget. Human beings, Allah knows that. Allah doesn't forget, does he? No, Allah doesn't forget. So he already knows if you're going to make a mistake. But what if you just forgot? Like, I give you an example. When I came in Islam, I learned about something called Ramadan. In Ramadan, what do Muslims do?
Fast.
They fast. What they don't do? They don't eat, they don't drink in the daytime, right? So I wake up, you know, and I'm like, ah, man, beautiful day. Alhamdulillah. Oh, this is a lovely day. I do salah. And I come up and I'm going to do some things. I said, man, like, make a nice breakfast, you know, some eggs, some cheese, and some bread, and some, you know, it's looking really nice. Delicious. That was a very nice meal. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, wait a minute, this is Ramadan. I just ate in Ramadan. Oh my God, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Huh? And then, ask Allah forgive you. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And then, don't eat anymore. Don't eat anymore. And inshallah, you can keep on going until tonight and break your fast tonight and it won't count against you. You don't have to make a whole bunch of days to just cover that one day. Why? Because Allah is very merciful. And Allah knows He created human beings to forget. The word forget, nasiya, and the word human being in Arabic, insan, are from the same beginning, the same root. So Allah created human beings to forget. And boy, do we forget. I forget stuff all the time. Today I forgot where I left my glasses. But then I remembered after I found them. You like my jokes? Well, when I talk about sinning, I want to remember what I can do to get forgiven by Allah. But I also want to remember exactly what a sin really is. Because sometimes somebody could tell you something's a sin, but it really isn't. Suppose somebody tell you, if you do this, if you take one of these leaves out here and you tear it up in a little bitty thing and you throw it on the floor right there, that's a sin. Now, if you do it, you may get in trouble with the people that put it here. But it wouldn't be a sin to Allah, would it? No. Because this isn't something that we have as a sin. So you have to know the difference between breaking just some rules by human beings and what's a real sin. A sin in front of Allah is anything that He ordered you not to do and you did it anyway. Or if He ordered you to do something and you didn't do it. Allah gave us those two examples with the shaitan and with Adam. Shaitan would not bow down. Allah said, bow down. Shaitan didn't do it, did he?
No,
he didn't do it. So therefore, that's an order to do something he didn't do. Allah ordered Muslims to pray 5 times a day, right? So if you don't do it, then your Bible said, He said, well, everything is already controlled by Allah. Allah made me do it, so I don't care. Well, the scholar said, no, that's not right. What it means, the teachers of Islam, they said what it means is, Allah controls everything, yes, but you always have a choice. Allah knows the choices that you're going to make, so He makes everything according to the choices He knows that you're going to make. But it's still your choice. You want to be good? It's your choice. You want to be bad? It's your choice. But you cannot blame it on Allah, and you can't blame it on anybody else. I want to tell you about another prophet. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us about this same subject. You know what he said about it? He said that there's a kind of sin, or shirk. We call it shirk in Arabic. It means associating partners with Allah. But it's something really bad that is hidden from you. He said it's like a black ant on a black rock on a black night. Could you see it? If there's no sun, it's night. And if there's no moon, no stars, it's cloudy. Can you see it at night? Nope. And if it's a black rock, could you even see it? There was a black ant on top of the black rock. Are you going to see it?
No.
But it's still there, isn't it? And he said that this is a kind of shirk. Or making the mistake of making partners with the law, and that is when you blame people for something. If you said, well, if you didn't do this, then this wouldn't have happened. Like sometimes maybe somebody locks their keys in the car. And they said, oh, you made me forget, and I locked my keys in the car. It's all your fault. And you said, how? No, you were arguing with me. You made me confused, and I slammed the door, and it's all your fault. You said, you shut the door. You're the one who left the keys in. Why are you blaming me? Because you made me crazy and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about? You ever hear people say something like this? It's your fault. It's your... How is it my fault? Because when you blame other people, it means you think they have power. But only Allah has power. And Allah knew this was going to happen. So what are you supposed to say when anything like this happens? No, you say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Why would I say, Alhamdulillah, I locked my keys in the car? Huh? Because it's Allah's will. It's an accident. Did you mean to do it? No?
No.
I'll tell you another one. When ladies make a cake, a nice cake, and they got it in the oven, at the last part, you know, when the cake is coming up, rising, just as it comes up, all you got to do is open the oven door or slam a door somewhere and change the pressure in that room, and that cake's going to fall. Pow! Oh, my gosh. Do you know how mad somebody would get? They worked so hard to make this cake, and you made it just fall just with one silly thing. And they blame you. Well, this is your fault. That's what... And you say, wait a minute. Everything's from Allah. So, I'm sorry. I didn't know it. I didn't mean for it to happen. It wasn't because I wanted that to happen, but it did happen. I'll give you another example. One time, Anas ibn Malik, he used to be a servant to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was a servant for him, he said, more than 10 years. He said, in the whole time, he never blamed me for anything. So you see, the prophets understood, and they didn't blame anybody. Like, I do it, you do it, your parents do it. Everybody makes this mistake. It's not good, but unfortunately, we all do it. We need to be careful. Don't blame other people. Don't blame other people. What happens, happens. It's history. After it's over, it's history. You can't change it, right? You can't. So go forward and relax and try to get through your life the best way you can. And say what? Alhamdulillah, right? Just say Alhamdulillah, the best thing you can do. Now, when we talk about sins, the prophets, all of them, were human beings. Now, some people will tell you, prophets never made any sins. Well, are prophets really human? Yeah. Are prophets born? Yeah. Do they eat? Yeah. They go to the bathroom? Yeah. Do they sleep? Yeah. They get tired? Human being eats, sleeps, drinks, goes to the bathroom, and does all the normal things, then he's not God, is he? And only God is perfect. True? Only God is perfect. So therefore, human beings all make mistakes. Even prophets make mistakes. But we don't say that prophets make the big mistakes, not the masiyah. No. They make little mistakes, small things. And those are the things that Allah will forgive them for very quickly, because they say astaghfirullah so much. So this is an important thing for us to remember. The astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, everybody's ready to go again, and we're going to keep talking about the prophets. There's so many prophets to talk about. So little bit of time, but Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us that he used to say stuff for Allah more than 70 times a day. And once he said more than 100 times a day. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. And that's a lot. And by the way, if prophets are saying astaghfirullah, asking Allah to forgive them, I'm sure we should too, huh? A lot. The more you say it, the better off you are. We've talked now about something really, I think, important about sins. And we understand that these sins have conditions. If I know something's wrong and I do it anyway, with no excuse, I'm in trouble. But I can be forgiven if I ask Allah to forgive me. Do I need to go and ask a prophet to forgive me? Huh? Do I need to go and ask a rock, a stick, a stone, or a bone to forgive me?
No.
So who am I going to ask to forgive me?
Allah.
And I can do it inside of my own heart, can't I?
Yes.
Nobody even has to know I said it, do they? I can just be like, for Allah. And nobody will know. Except
Allah.
And this is very, very important. Because I'm talking to Him directly from my heart. And He can hear my heart. Not just the beating. Boom, 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 boom. No. He hears what's in my mind. What I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. He knows all of it. In fact, He's the one who knows how I suffer, or how I enjoy, and why. And I don't even know all of that, but He does. So anytime I ask Him, forgive me, He can forgive me that fast. That's good news, yeah? But I wouldn't know that if I didn't know about the prophets that I've been telling you about. That's why it's so important to know about these prophets, and to know what they're teaching us with these lessons. Because it's not just stories. This is not just something that we want to say, okay, this prophet, and so, he lived here, and he died there, had this many children, and he ate some food, and who cares? I want to know, what did he teach me that I can use today? I want to know, what did I get from the stories of the prophets, that when I put it in my life works better. Huh? Like when I put gasoline in the car, it's going to work better. I put oil in the car, it works better, huh? Right? Yeah. So these are the things that we need to know. What's in the story to help me? Did you learn something today about sins? Yeah. And where they came from, how it started, what we do, why it's something is a sin when it's not a sin? I think we got some benefit from that. Inshallah, I hope so. But certainly I want to remember that all the sins of all the humans that are ever committed can all be forgiven by Allah. Except one. One sin Allah will never ever forgive. It's called shirk. Shirk. What is shirk?
Associating partners.
Exactly. Associating partners with Allah. Would you like to know about shirk? Yeah? Yeah?
Yep.
First of all, shirk is an Arabic word. And it means that somebody is having a god with God. He's not taking Allah all by himself, but he's making something with it. We know from Islam, from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that this is the unforgivable sin that nobody should do it. But is he the first person to tell us this? Is he? Huh? No. All the prophets taught us that. In fact, if we look, we find that that's the first commandment. The first commandment that came with all the other commandments that came to Moses was number one, don't make shirk. Don't do that. Because it says in the Old Testament that the first commandment was, I'm the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt and the house of bondage. And you know no other God beside me. Thou shalt not have any gods beside me. That's the first commandment. That's in Exodus chapter 20. I read it. What does that mean? Don't make shirk. Don't get an idol or an image or something alive or something dead and think that this thing can help you, because it can't help you. It won't help you. If you pray to it, in fact, it'll hurt you, because Allah will be angry. Can you understand why? I'm going to compare human beings to human beings. How? Think about a human being and another human being, people. I invite you to come to my house, and I say, come over, I'm going to fix food. Okay, you come over. And I put food out, and I put drinks out, and we have all this good stuff, huh? And you're eating and drinking and you're going, whew, man, that was good. Whoa, that was good. And then you get up and you go outside and you go to my next door neighbor, knock on the door, and he goes, hello? And you say, thank you for a lovely meal. Goodbye. He's going to say, what? Are you cuckoo? I didn't do anything. But how about the guy who fixed all the food? He's going to be pretty mad, isn't he? I fix you food. I give you something to drink, a nice place to stay. Why, you went to the neighbor and said thank you to him. Huh? Now that's human to human. How about Allah? Allah created us. He created us. He gave us life. He gave us air to breathe. He gave us food to eat, water to drink. He gave us a place. He gave us knowledge. He gave us a heart. He gave us feelings. He gave us so much. Who should we say thank you to?
Allah.
Allah, not the neighbor. Huh, not a rock. Oh, thank you, Mr. Rock. Oh, that was so nice. What's that? That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. Why would we do that? But people do it all the time, don't they? People have rocks, sticks, and things that they carry around. Oh, this is going to help me, and that's going to help me. None of it's going to help them. In fact, it will hurt them. The rock, I don't mean because I dropped it on my foot, but it will hurt you because you worshipped it instead of Allah. Allah said something in the Quran, which is the last revelation of the human being, about certain people that He's going to do what? He's going to be their best friend. Allah will be a best friend to certain people. Who are these people? These are the ones who will take Allah as their protector. They will go to Allah for whatever they need. And when they do that, then Allah, He is their God, He is their protector. But when they take something that's a false god for their protector, for their friend, then they're going to be in deep trouble. And the way Allah says it in the Quran is that He will take these people who take Him as the protector, He's going to make them what? He's going to make them in light. He's going to bring them out of darkness into light. That's beautiful. But what about the other ones? He's going to take them out of the light and into the darkness. Why? Because you take false gods and they're going to take you away from the light. And that's how I meant when I said that if somebody is worshiping this, it can hurt them, because this is nothing but a rock, but if you worship it, that action will make you go away from the light of Islam into the darkness of what called kufr. Now I want to tell you about something. The prophets all warned us about something called kufr. Kufr. Can you say kufr?
Kufr.
Kufr. Kufr? Kufr. A'udhu billah. Kufr is something really, really bad, but it comes from a word in Arabic which means to cover. In English we say cover. In Arabic you say kufr, to put something on top of something. Sometimes you shouldn't put something on top of something, and sometimes you should. But that's a cover, isn't it? And whoever covers something, then they have committed an act of kufr. Let me give you an example. They used to say that a farmer digs the ground, puts the seeds in the ground, and then he covers the ground over the seed, right? When he covers that over, he's doing kufr. He's covering it. And a farmer used to be called a kafir. A kafir because he covers the ground. But after Islam came, and we use this word now for somebody who is a disbeliever is a kafir, now no farmer wants to be called a kafir anymore, because it means also disbelief. Why? Because they covered the truth of Islam. The truth is there. You can cover it, but you can't make it go away. And how you cover it is by lying and saying it's not there anymore. But eventually it'll come up through there, won't it? And you'll know it's still there. Because lies go away, but the truth stays. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, think real slow with me on this. Lies don't stay, but the truth does. So even if you pour lies on top of something, try to cover it, cover it, cover it. Eventually, pew, truth pops up. You can't keep it down. Allah said something in the Quran, which is the last revelation of the human being, about certain people that he's going to do what? He's going to be their best friend. Allah will be a best friend to certain people. Who are these people? These are the ones who will take Allah as their protector. They will go to Allah for whatever they need. And when they do that, then Allah, He is their God, He is their protector. But when they take something that's a false god for their protector, for their friend, then they're going to be in deep trouble. And the way Allah says it in the Quran is that He will take these people who take Him as the protector, He's going to make them what? He's going to make them in light. He's going to bring them out of darkness into light. That's beautiful. But what about the other ones? He's going to take them out of the light and into the darkness. Why? Because you take false gods and they're going to take you away from the light. And that's how I meant when I said that if somebody is worshiping this, it can hurt them, because this is nothing but a rock, but if you worship it, that action will make you go away from the light of Islam into the darkness of what called kufr. Now I want to tell you about something. The prophets all warned us about something called kufr. Kufr. And you say kufr?
Kufr.
Kufr. Kufr? Kufr. A'udh billah. Kufr is something really, really bad, but it comes from a word in Arabic which means to cover. In English we say cover. In Arabic you say kufr, to put something on top of something. Sometimes you shouldn't put something on top of something, and sometimes you should. But that's a cover, isn't it? And whoever covers something, then they have committed an act of kufr. Let me give you an example. They used to say that a farmer digs the ground, puts the seeds in the ground, and then he covers the ground over the seed, right? When he covers that over, he's doing kufr. He's covering it. And a farmer used to be called a kafir. A kafir because he covers the ground. But after Islam came, and we use this word now, for somebody who is a disbeliever is a kafir, now no farmer wants to be called a kafir anymore, because it means also disbelief. Why? Because they covered the truth of Islam. The truth is there. You can cover it, but you can't make it go away. And how you cover it is by lying and saying it's not there anymore. But eventually it'll come up through there, won't it? And you'll know it's still there. Because lies go away, but the truth stays. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Think real slow with me on this. Lies don't stay, but the truth does. So even if you pour lies on top of something, try to cover it, cover it, cover it, eventually, phew, truth pops up. You can't keep it down. About lying. If a person lies to anybody, they have already told two lies. How? Before they lie to somebody, they have to lie to themselves to say it's okay to lie. And it's not okay to lie, is it? Lying puts black specks in your heart until it becomes totally black. And you should stay away from it. And this is all part of kufr. Covering, lying, covering, lying. The best thing is to tell the truth. Tell the truth. Always tell the truth. And with that, remove all this covering and you see the light of the truth. What it says in the Quran, Allah tells us real clear, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجونه من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياءهم يخرجونه من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Now, what this means, more or less, to the English is that Allah is telling us, whoever takes Allah as their protecting, guiding friend, then Allah, He's going to take them out of darkness. Darkness, and this can mean a lot. The darkness of ignorance, the darkness of making big mistakes, the darkness of sin, and guide them into what? Into the light. And this can mean the light of Islam, the light of understanding, the light of good, But then he continues. He said, as for those people who are kuffar, those people who cover the truth, that's why I was telling you that. As far as those people who take false gods as their awliya, rocks, sticks, stones, bones, made up stuff, stars, moon, sun, whatever they're praying to, whoever takes that as their awliya, as their protecting friend, then that is going to take them from the light into the darkness, deep darkness. And then it says, and they're going to stay in there forever. So this is the unforgivable sin in Islam. You cannot be forgiven for this. And it even tells us in the Quran, verily Allah does not forgive setting up partners with Him in worship, shirk. But anything less than that, He can forgive. Now, if a person was doing shirk, how could he get forgiven? The only way is to totally leave it, come to Islam, and declare that there's only one God to worship, and then never make that big mistake again. And if Allah accepts from them, they can be right along with the other good people. So it's important to know that coming into Islam is to get rid of all shirk, to stop worshiping the creation and to start worshiping the Creator. Because we have many things around us every day that attract our attention and our focus and our love. Maybe I'd like to have a new car. And I'm not saying I wouldn't like to have a nice car. But if I begin to worship that car, and it's not good. Money. Oh, I'd like to have some more money, anybody would. But if you begin to worship the money by making it more important to you than Allah, then you made partners with it. So it's not just the rocks and sticks and stones, it's anything that is existing that you give your devotion to or your worship to. Does that make sense? So that was one of the main messages of all the prophets warning people not to do that. Don't make kufr and don't make shirk. Don't cover the truth and don't make partners with Allah in worship. That is a pretty big lesson for today, wasn't it? Well, there's always more things we can learn from the prophets. You know that all the prophets that came had things about them similar, but things also different. Now, we've talked a little bit about some of the earlier prophets. And one of the things that I love to talk about is the prophet Ibrahim. And the prophet Ibrahim, or Abraham, is mentioned so many times in the Old Testament of the Bible. He's mentioned in the New Testament. And he's mentioned throughout the Quran so much I couldn't even count how many times I found stories about Ibrahim. Did you know that he had children? Yeah, Ishmael and Ishaq. Yes, he did. And did you know they had children? In fact, Allah promised them many children, and they sure did have it. From Ishaq, we know many of the prophets came from him. And from Ishmael, we know prophets came, but the best one was the last one, which is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him. When I think about all these prophets, and I think of the stories of Moses, many stories there too. One of the things that comes to my mind is the story of what happened with people of Moses' time and how they made a big mistake by committing shirk. You know what happened? Well, after Moses had gone to Pharaoh, he took his brother with him, Harun, and they were telling Pharaoh about the God. Our God is the one who created everything. Please, you know, we're the people who worship Him. Let us go. You know, don't make us the slaves here. And they kept day after day asking, and when they finally got away, they finally got through the water. Remember the story, the water opened up, they went through that, and at last, they should be in good shape, yeah? But then, Allah, He wanted Musa, alayhi salam, to go up into the mountain, and he did. Moses went up into the mountain. And when he got up there, he stayed a long time. Days and nights, and the people were like, He's not coming back. He's not coming back. What are we going to do? And some people said, you know, that the people where we used to be in Egypt, they used to worship a cow, a golden cow. So let's make a golden cow. Let's do that. And they did. They made up a golden cow. They took all the gold that they had, and they shaped it, and they molded it, and they made it into a calf, a golden calf. It's small cap, right? And they said that the wind used to blow through it and make a noise like this. And they said, oh, it's talking to us. But in reality, it was just wind blowing through it. And they will go to it, oh, you know, we would like to have children. Can you give us a son? Only Allah can give you children. Yeah? Why are you praying to this cow? It was making everybody, you know, further and further from the truth. And they were going, praying, and offering their sacrifices, everything, to this silly statue that they made from gold. When Moses, peace be upon him, finally came back, he came down the mountain, he had the commandments with him. When he got down, he looked and he found all the people, look, they're worshiping this calf, this golden calf that they made. Ah! And here is Moses was talking directly to Allah, and these people that's with him are worshiping something beside Allah. You think he got upset? Think he got angry? Yeah. What did he do? Do you know what he did? Well, first of all, he let them know that's the wrong thing to do, didn't he? Yeah. Story has it, he just dropped those tablets and went back up, had to go back up to Allah and have the commandments again because it was that bad. He was upset that one thing that he did, he and his brother did, they destroyed that golden calf, destroyed it completely, because this is the wrong thing. That's the wrong message, to worship something other than Allah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, everybody's ready to go again, and we're going to keep talking about the prophets. Shall I tell you about another prophet?
Yeah.
Now this prophet, way back before that, way back, he had a problem with his people. He was telling them the same message. Guys, just worship Allah. They said, get away from us. We don't want to hear about that. He said, no, there really is Allah, and he's the one who is making everything, creating everything, sustaining everything. Just Allah. And they're going like, nah. He tried everything with them. They said, man, you know, you're kind of cuckoo. And he was trying to tell them, and they said, nah, you're like, you know, something wrong with you. So finally they told him, listen, if you want us to believe you, okay, and you said it's Allah, he creates things, does things, okay, then show us a sign. Go ahead. He said, okay, what do you want? Okay, make your God, means Allah, to take a great big rock, a huge rock, okay, and then turn it into a camel. Make it open like an egg or something. Just turn it into a camel. Oh, and make sure that it's a female camel. Oh, and we want her to be pregnant. Oh, and we want her to be so pregnant she's almost ready to deliver the camel. Oh, and we want her to be from the best kind of camel. Okay? Can that be done? Of course not. No man could do it. No human being could even think of that. A rock that hatches like an egg, and a camel comes out, full grown, and it's a girl camel, and she's pregnant, and she's going to have a calf. That's not possible. But Allah made it happen. A big rock went crack, and there was a camel, a big, giant camel from the kind that they wanted. And guess what happened? Camel had a baby, because she was pregnant. Whoa. Is that amazing?
Yes.
It's not all. Because Allah then made a rule for them, because of their disbelief, that he's going to make water come for them, because they lived out places where it's hard to get water. So they had a well. And, check this out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, made the water run just so there'd be enough water for the people on one day, but then just enough water for the camel on the next day. This camel drank a lot of water. You know, a lot of water. So they were ordered, you cannot drink any water on the day that the camel gets hers. So one day they can have water, the next day, no. They have to let the camel have it all. And she would suck it dry. she would drink all of this water. You imagine that? And they were like, hey, no, you got to wait till tomorrow. So the next day, everybody's like getting all the water they can get, you know. And next day after that, nope, none for you, only for the camel. Now, after a while, some people started saying, hey, man, what's with this camel drinking all the water? I don't need that. And one of them said, all right, I'll kill her. Oh, but that was the she-camel of Allah. And their prophet told him, this is the she-camel of Allah. Leave her alone. Let her drink. But one of the worst ones of them, he said, who is this guy? He didn't believe. Even though they knew it was, they saw it. Hatch out, a camel from Iraq. Come on, man. But he killed her. He killed the camel. And then the people thought, ha, ha, Allah didn't do anything to us. So, drink the water, don't worry about it. And most of the people went back to their disbelief. Making what? Covering up the truth. Kufr. They did it. They went right back where they were. A few people believed, and they stayed in the right way, believing about Allah. But the rest of them were like, we don't care about that. And then what happened? Eventually, Allah brought a great punishment on them. It was so bad, it can't be described. Words cannot even describe how horrible was the punishment, but it came all at once. Boom! And they were all gone, just like that. Because Allah has something, in Arabic it's called istidraj. Istidraj, this is the word that explains everything about the punishment of Allah and how it can sneak up on you when you don't think it's going to happen. Because if you do something bad and you don't get caught, you think, well, maybe I'll never get caught, you know? Maybe you lie and you said, hey, nobody caught me. Or maybe you take something and you said, hey, nobody knows I did it. Maybe you cheated and you said, hey, I didn't get caught. Hey, maybe I'll just keep on doing this, keep on doing that. And you'd never say, Allah, forgive me. You don't put something back that you took. You don't apologize to somebody. You just keep doing it, thinking, then all of a sudden, it's the charge. Now, I want you to think about something. Did you ever see like a carpet sitting on a real shiny, slick floor? You know that carpet will move. You know? A rug. So what if somebody was standing on that, huh? Just stand there going, da 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 da, and you grab it and you jerk it out from underneath them. They'd be like, wow, bam! They wouldn't be expecting that, huh? This is similar to istidraj. And Allah, He brings it to the people when they least expect it. That's why some people, you think, why? This guy keeps doing bad things. He doesn't get caught. He did this, he did that, or she did so and so and such. It looks like she's doing pretty good, you know? But eventually it will come. And when it comes, bad news. And that's istidraj. Just like the people of the time of the camel I told you about, how it just came on them all of a sudden like that. In the same way, other people were punished, but not until a prophet came to them. That's why I want to keep explaining these stories of the prophets to you, so you can see and learn, and we can understand what was the message. What was the message? And we all knew it, we've said it before, but la ilaha
illallah.
Illallah. La ilaha
illallah.
And I'll say the whole thing. La ilaha illallah. Yeah, there is no God to worship except Allah. One God. That's the main part of the message that every prophet brought with them. Another thing that comes along with a prophet's message, sometimes will be rules. Sometimes you'll find some rules. Eat this, don't eat that. Dress like this, don't dress like that. Some marriage rules, rules about divorces, things that, you know. But all of these kinds of rules can change according to the people's traditions or cultures and so on. So this is not the main focus. The main focus is to know that there really is God, and then you want to know what is it that He wants from you. And if He gives you some rules, then you've got to follow them the best you can. Okay. Now I want to tell you a story. about a prophet who was the son of a prophet. Do you know who was the son of a prophet? There's a lot of sons of prophets, actually.
Ishaq, alayhi salam, Ismail.
Yes, Ismail. Ismail is the son of?
Ibrahim,
alayhi salam, peace be upon him. You guys are catching this really fast. I like that. Well, when he had this son, he was so happy. And Allah asked him to sacrifice his son. It came to him like in a dream or vision, and he knew that he has to sacrifice his son. And when he tried to do it, his son understood. And his son is saying, what's going on? Because he's taking him like he would take a sheep for slaughter or something. He said, is this from Allah? And his father said, yeah, this is from Allah. He said, then you'll find me patient. Go ahead. The boy understands, because he's a prophet too, you know. He understands, even if his father put a sword on his neck and cut his head, he'd say, it's from Allah, it's the right thing. What happened? Allah didn't let the knife cut him at all. In fact, Allah sent a ram, and the ram came. The ram is a male sheep, a big sheep. And they cut that instead. Because the real meaning of it was, Allah wanted him to take his son to a special place. The place where Adam had actually been way before that. It's called Beth-El, or the place to worship Allah, the house of Allah. The boy understands, because he's a prophet too, you know. He understands, even if his father put a sword on his neck and cut his head, he'd say, it's from Allah, it's the right thing. What happened? Allah didn't let the knife cut him at all. In fact, Allah sent a ram, and the ram came. The ram is a male sheep, a big sheep. And they cut that instead. Because the real meaning of it was, Allah wanted him to take his son to a special place. The place where Adam had actually been way before that. It's called Beth-El, or the place to worship Allah, the house of Allah. Beth, as we talked about in some of our programs, is like the word in Arabic, Beit. It means house. And El is the Hebrew way of saying Allah, Allah, El. And so this place where Adam had been is the very same place now where Ibrahim is taking his son. But he was still young when he took him out there. And his mother was wondering what's going on. Because they were in the desert. When they got out in the desert, there's no water in the desert, is there? And after they were there for a while, Ibrahim, he got up and he started walking away. Just walking away. His wife said, hey, where are you going? He didn't answer. She says, excuse me, are you leaving? And just kept on going. Is this something from Allah? And he signaled to her that yes, it was. And he went on. So, okay, she understood. She's a wife of a prophet, and she understood. So she went back to her baby. What she didn't know is that when Ibrahim got far, far away, well, they couldn't see him, but he could still see him. He turned around and looked. Because, you know, he loved them so much. It wasn't easy for him to do that, but it was something he knew Allah wanted. So he left them. Because he said, they're in the care of Allah, and they said the same thing. Allah will take care of us. But then what happened? They ran out of water. They had drunk up all the water. There was no water left. Sometimes when you don't have any water, that's hard. She looked, there's no water. Anyway, she went up to the top of one and she looked and looked and looked around, nothing. She ran down and over to the other side and up the other hill and looked, nothing. Back down again and looked, and back down and up again, and back down and up again, and each time looking, until seven times she had gone back and forth between these two hills, looking for somebody, anybody. Well, maybe there will be somebody over there now. I'll go look again. But no, it wasn't. Nothing. And then the angel came. The angel Gabriel. And when he came, that's when stuff starts happening, isn't it? And it mentions in Quran real clear about the baby moving his foot. And some say that the heel of the foot rubbing on the sand caused water to start coming up. But of course we know it's Allah making the water come up. The water start coming more and more and more and more and more and more water, more water, water. And they're like, oh, all right. But then she started making some like dam around it, you know, putting some sand or whatever dirt around the thing, and more water was coming up, more water. And so much, she said, whoa. And they said that she said a word from her language, Zayam, which means go back. There's too much water. Zayam, Zayam. And what do we call it today? Zamzam. The well of Zamzam. And this water is still coming out of there today. By the way, I've been there. I've seen the water there. In fact, I drank some of it. I like it. It has a very nice taste. And even they send it in cartons and bottles around the world today. People can get Zamzam water. And this is another one of the miracles that comes with the prophets. And remember now, Ismail was just a little prophet at that time. Just a little guy, a little boy. When he grew up, and this is another story that's really nice. When he grew up, he got married. He was a hunter, by the way. He used to go out and hunt and everything. And his father came to visit. His father came to visit after he had gotten married. And he came to the door and he asked, is Ismail here? The wife of Ismail came and said, she said, no, not here. Oh, well, he didn't say who he was. He just said, how are things? She said, things are hard. So what's going on? He says, it's tough. We're having hard times. She's complaining to him. He said, oh, okay. Well, tell him he needs to fix his doorstep. And he left. So when Ismail came back, he was asking what's going on while I was gone. She said, oh, some old man came, that's all. I said, I see. Well, what did he say? Ah! He said, fix your doorstep. He understood right away who it was. He said, that was my father, Ibrahim, alayhi salam, peace be upon him. And he's telling me to divorce you. Huh? What? Yeah. So he divorced her. Now think about that one for a minute. Because then later, Ibrahim came again, peace be upon him. He went to the door, knocked. The new wife come to the door. How are you today? Oh, alhamdulillah. So how are things? Where is Ismail? He's not here out hunting, but things are good. Everything's fine. Alhamdulillah, whatever we have is from Allah. We're fine. We're okay. He said, give him a message. Tell him to firm up his doorstep. So what happened? When Ismail came back, what happened? She said, oh, a nice old man came. And you know what? He said, you should firm up your doorstep. What does that mean? He said, ah, that was my father and he was telling me to keep you. Do you understand why? Because the woman was considered the keeper of the house. That's why he was talking about the doorstep. Keeper of the house is the woman. She's responsible that when the husband's away to take care of everything in the house. The first woman was not good, was she? Look how she was complaining and saying against her husband and things while he was gone. The second one though, even though they had a hard time, maybe they didn't have food or whatever, difficulties, but she didn't complain and she was thankful to Allah, and that's the kind of wife you should have. So he was telling his son, keep her. Make sense? So in this way, we learn how prophets can communicate with other prophets in a way that you and I might go, huh, what's that? But they can understand because the prophets, Their mind is much more clean and clear than ours. Their hearts are clean and clear. The explanation of that is that when people lie, it clouds their thinking. When people lie, it bothers their hearts. It makes them not straight anymore. And the more you lie, the more crooked you will be. But the more you tell the truth, the more you're honest, then the straighter you're going to be able to see things. And you'll be able to look right straight there and understand what's in front of you. So it's very important for the believers to always tell the truth. And we found that in the Quran. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu wattaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah and always say the truth. Very good lesson, isn't it? There were so many prophets, so many, many prophets. Some prophets are known for the water. We've talked about one of them already, which was Noah. Some prophets are known for amazing things that happened to their people. We talked about one of those, too. Some prophets are known for being real close to Allah. But every single prophet was known for the fact that he told the truth. And the most truthful of all of the prophets was who? Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because he was called As-Sadiq, which means the truthful. Muhammad was As-Sadiq, the truthful. That's good. He didn't lie. Never did he lie. Always he told the truth. Can you say you never lied? Or would that be a lie if you said it? Well, you could say it, but would that be another lie? That's what you want to watch out for. So, if we know how important the truth is, then we've learned a very valuable lesson from our prophets. Speak the truth. Say what's real. Sometimes you don't feel like it, though. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody's bothered you, something has hurt you, something is eating at you, and you said, you know what, I'm going to tell a lie anyway, I don't care. And who just whispered in your ear to do that? Shaitan. Shaitan will tell you it's okay to lie, won't he? It's what he did to Adam. He told him it's okay to eat the fruit, didn't he? But it's not okay. When Allah says, don't do it, don't do it. So if you get this inside of you, it's okay, I can take this, or I can cheat. I need an answer for a test, and I'm at school, and I didn't study last night. I forgot. Let me see how I can get the answer. Oh, he's got the answer over there. And I'll write it down. It's cheating. Yeah? And oh, this girl's got the answer over here. Oh, it's cheating. But I got A. No, you didn't. You got awful because you cheated. And when you cheat, you lose something with Allah. What is it called? Barakah. When you lose the blessings from Allah. Oh, you might get what you want here, but you won't be happy with it after you get it. Because you took it, and it really wasn't yours. Stealing never help you. Cheating, it's not going to help you. And lying is worse than anything. Now I want to tell you what Muhammad, peace be upon him, said about lying and liars. Listen to this. Somebody asking, what if there was a man and he was a coward? A coward is somebody who runs away in the battle. You know, they're fighting in a battle, and they're fighting, and then all of a sudden he said, I'm scared, and he started running away. This is called Joban in Arabic. So could somebody be a Joban and still he could be a believer? Even if he ran away? Said yes. Yes, he could be. He said, yeah, but what if a guy is stingy, bakhil, really stingy with the money? He doesn't give any charity. He doesn't help anybody. People come to him, please help me. And he goes, Could he still be a believer? He said, well, he could be. Then he said, what if somebody is khadib? Khadib means what?
Liar.
Big time. Could he be a believer?
No.
La. Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, no. Liars are not believers. That's how important it is to always tell the truth. In some cases, I even heard that even if the truth will hurt, at least you can't lie, at least be quiet. That's a good lesson. All the lessons we learn from all the prophets will help us if we remember them each day. That's why it's important to review. Like I've reviewed several of the stories in telling a new story about a new prophet. Sometimes I go back and review some of the other things that apply to that. And the more that we do that, the more it should help us in understanding. And when you really understand something, you learn from it. And when you learn from it, you don't make the same mistakes anymore, do you? No. And if you do it right, you become a better person. Slowly, step by step, you go through the life, you don't realize it, but you build up a lot of good reward with Allah. And you can get rid of a lot of sins simply by looking at the lives of these great prophets. And all of these prophets had one message, and that message is the one that we want to always remember. It's called what? La ilaha
illallah.
Muhammad our Rasulullah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.